Tappers, what is up? How are we doing? What a day for Wisconsin sports fans. We had ourselves a nice day. Get a Packers win. We get a Bucks win. Bucks win unexpected. We'll talk about both. And we'll maybe squeeze in a little bit about the Badgers, man. Maybe not, since they would ruin our vibe. But still, it's been a good day, guys. Hope you guys had a great Sunday. Hope you guys had a good weekend, despite the cold temps here in Wisconsin. Some snow up north. So, hopefully you guys had a good one. And getting ready for the last full week before we head into Thanksgiving. We got a Packers game day on Thursday night. So a lot's going on, a lot's happening. Definitely looking forward to it. Scheduled this week for those who care. We got Daily Tap today. We got Daily Tap tomorrow. We have Daily Tap on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, Mitch and I will be doing Tapping the Keg. We'll preview, obviously, the Seahawks-Packers. We'll talk about where the Bucks are at that point. We'll also, I'm sure, dive into other intricate things, as Mitch and I do. The MVP race and the Manager of the Year will be decided this week for baseball as well. And then on Friday, it's TBD. We do not know. There will be a weekend watch list. I'll put it that way. But with the fact that we also have the Packer game, am I going to do a recap that is just on the side? Are we going to do a little bit of both? I'm not sure yet. I haven't fully committed either way. I'll think about it as the week goes on. So though that's the schedule for those who care. For those who don't, I've wasted 2 minutes. Let's not waste any more time. Let's get right into the Green Bay Packer game. So this was one that you hoped the Green Bay Packers would come out and take care of business. It was a get-right spot for the Packers. It looked like that Packers were a 10-point favorite. Then you add to the fact, as the game began, or when the inactives came out, that the Dolphins would be without both of their tackles. So they were down three starting offensive linemen. Add on to the fact they've had lineman injuries all season. So it really looked like a ripe opportunity for the Green Bay Packers to do some real damage. Now, he kind of did the Packer thing, right? They didn't necessarily really have that strong start. I mean, they started out strong, up 14-3, but then at 14-3, they stalled. The car sort of stayed in motion, and then they get up. Then the Dolphins get two field goals. They get it back to 14-12, and all of a sudden, you're like, holy shit, is this going to be a football game? Is this going to go down to the wire where none of us are feeling good by the end of it? Au contraire, mon frère, the Packers respond after that field goal with a dominating drive, then get a turnover on a Bashaud Breeland interception, and they score yet again to put themselves up 28-12. They tacked on a field goal to make it 31-12, and the Packers went going away. Their defense did not allow a touchdown. This is the second time at Lambeau this year the defense has not allowed a touchdown. I believe it's the first time that's happened since 2003. So a lot to like, but the biggest headline from this game was Aaron Jones. And Aaron, you knew Aaron Jones was this good. I knew Aaron Jones was this good. Everybody in the fucking state knew Aaron Jones was this good. The only person who didn't know Aaron Jones was this good was Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy failed to ride Aaron Jones. Viewers pointed out how the fact that Aaron Jones, like, he was he had the lowest amount of snaps in week five and week four, and like he just for whatever reason could not break free of whatever Mike McCarthy was holding him down. But now it's official, and the Packers need to ride Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones needs to be the focal point of this team. Aaron Rodgers should take a back seat at least for a little while. And I'm not saying that Aaron Rodgers is suddenly the second option, but think of it like sort of how the New Orleans Saints roll. And, you know, Aaron Jones has been compared to Alvin Kamara. And, like, I don't want to put it out there because I think Alvin Kamara is on a whole other level. I think there are tiers to this shit. But if you think of it like that, where they're run first, but they still have a Hall of Fame quarterback, Consider this. Drew Brees is an MVP candidate this year, and yet they are still a run-first-oriented team, and teams are playing to stop Kamara, which just opens up things for Drew Brees. And I think the same would happen with Aaron Rodgers. And I really think that that is where Aaron Jones needs to be the man. He needs to get 20 carries a game. Look at like 2014. Eddie Lacy ran for 1,100 yards that year. Eddie Lacy averaged about 18 carries per game. And he was a major part of the offense. And that just, all it does is help Aaron Rodgers. And I think that Mike McCarthy is getting to that point. And it's just like, I don't know why we're still giving Jamal Williams snaps. Like, I get breathers and giving guys a little bit of a rest, but like, Jamal Williams should not be carrying the ball in short yardage situations. Jamal Williams has proven himself to not be a good short yardage back. There was a drive that stalled when the Packers ended up going for it on fourth down. They're up 14-3, and Jamal Williams carried the ball twice right up the middle and did absolutely jack shit with it. And to no one's real surprise, I don't think anyone is shocked that Jamal Williams is doing that. I do not understand Mike McCarthy's fascination with Jamal Williams. I won't get it. Hopefully, he continues to get phased out a little bit more as it goes on. Now, if McCarthy comes out and says, well, we had a short week, I didn't want to make Jones the bell cow, I can get down with that. I can. I know that other people will be like, oh, that's kind of coach speak. But if you think about it, you got a game on Thursday, so maybe some of the Jamal Williams carries were based off of that. You have another game 4 days away. Could be that. Could be something else. So, yes, Aaron Rodgers still, you know, we talked last week on both Tapping the Keg and on Daily Tap about how he's kind of having a little bit of a mediocre season. And there wasn't anything here that eluded the confidence. He missed Devontae Adams deep on one. He threw high on Adams when Adams should have probably came down with a touchdown if it was a perfectly thrown ball, settled for the 31 or the 3 that the Packers did get. Like, Aaron is just, he's not fully there. And I do, and Rich Gannon talked about it on the CBS broadcast about how some of this scrambling stuff, they really haven't got down because of the lack of practice for Aaron Rodgers, which is something we talked about last week about how, you know, he couldn't do the things like that Brett Favre would do because Brett Favre just kind of gunslinged. And Aaron Rodgers is way too precise, way too perfect to do those sort of things. So, that being said, Rodgers just needs more time to practice with these guys. And hopefully this is sort of developing that chemistry and that we're really going to see. I think there will be a game, and I don't know who it'll be against. Maybe Atlanta, maybe Minnesota, who's been low-key bad against the pass. Maybe it's Arizona, where Aaron Rodgers just flames everyone and goes off because he's that damn good. And that he still has that ability. He has that sicko mode, if you will. Shouts to Travis Scott. That exists. But right now, Aaron Jones is the man. He needs to be treated that way, and he's the number one option at this point. It could change, but I need to see Aaron Jones because there are multiple things that say Aaron Rodgers just shouldn't be chucking the ball all over the field at this point, you know, right now in the season. It could change, but right now it's Aaron Jones. On the other side of the ball, the defense, a great, great game. I understand it's Brock Osweiler, but this Dolphins offense has shown the ability to get down the field. And Frank Gore's had 90 yards on the ground, and Osweiler still threw for about 215 yards, but they got to him six times. Six different guys had sacks. I actually thought, and this a little disrespectful, but I believe it, they looked better when Nick Perry got injured. And Nick Perry was out for the game. I doubt Nick Perry is able to play on Thursday. Same goes for Kentrell Bryce, maybe even to Josh Jones, who may have a concussion as well, which, again, I think they saw something in Raven Green tonight. I really liked some of the things that Raven Green did on the field. I really believe that he may be a underrated guy for this team. Now, granted, when teams get tape on a player, they start figuring it out. But so far, so good from Raven Green. I really liked what I saw from him in the short sample size. Now, the pass rush was great. I thought the Packers did a really good job dialing up the blitzes, frustrating that beat up and beleaguered offensive line for the Dolphins, and just needs to keep happening. You need to keep putting the pressure down. Green Bay has showed that they can really hold down the bad teams. When they face a bad offense, Green Bay feasts. That's shown out time and again this year. So hopefully that trend continues. They do have another bad team in Arizona, and the Jets are looking like kind of a walkover later in the year. So hopefully that trend can continue. And now you just hope that they can turn the corner against some of the better teams they play. Seahawks will be another test. Granted, the blitz-heavy off defense for the Packers fits perfectly against the Seahawks team that can't stop anybody. And so Mike Pettine should be able to eat. They should be able to frustrate Russell Wilson quite a bit. Wilson has had some major issues with the Packers in the past few games that he's played them. So he has his own demons against the Packers that he'll be looking to exercise. Jair Alexander, I thought, looked good again. Breland had a nice pick. I know people were kind of beating up on him a little bit, but still really a decent game for him. Josh Jackson, a little struggling in the slot. Danny Amendola had a nice day. Grant, Danny Amendola is a pretty good slot receiver, but you're going to have to go up against Doug Baldwin, Tyler Lockett next week, and that's not going to be easy for the young rook. All right, so now we get to the fun part. We get to the fun part of the special teams. All right, the special teams is a fucking joke right now. The only thing that was good was Mason Crosby. Mason Crosby hit a field goal. That was that. We had a punt blocked. That's not great. There was a fake punt and ran against the Packers. Not great either. Tron Williams fumbled a punt. His geriatric ass returning kicks. Jesus Christ. I think Tom said that on Twitter, but credit to him. But still, that can't happen. You had Lucas Patrick carrying the ball in a spot that most people in the NFL do not have linemen. I believe they have fullbacks or running backs. But the Packers, being an antiquated team that they are, have a fucking offensive lineman. Grant, as a fat guy, did I love Lucas Patrick delivering the boom and giving himself a concussion? Absolutely. Do I think he deserves to get nominated for Football Guy of the Week? Sure. Was it a smart play? Absolutely fucking not. But still, I loved it. So it's one of those things where I can love it even though it hurt the team. You guys understand, right? You get it? Like, all right, cool. And then there was another special team snafu. I'm sure I'm missing one, but it all amounts to this keeps happening. The mental mistakes on the special teams keep happening. Is it because the Packers are a dumb team, or are they not coached well? I'll tell you what, the Seahawks have been known to do some special team shit against the Packers. Take 2014 NFC Championship game as an example. The Packers have to be perfect on special teams, in my opinion, this week, or else I think that Ron Zook's out of a job. I do not think these mental mistakes on special teams can keep happening as we get later and later into the season. I do not know how Ron Zook can keep this job. He does not show that he deserves it. They got to clean it up. There has to be some accountability, and I don't know when it's going to happen, where that we can just watch it. It's sort of like you just expect the sun to rise. You expect a special teams fuck up at this point. It's entirely frustrating. Before we move to the Bucks, I did want to mention kind of a nice nut day for the Packers in general. So every team around the Packers lost. That is incredible. That is not something you always get. But Philadelphia, surprising home loss to the Cowboys. They're now 4-5. You have the Seahawks, who lost today to the Rams. Falcons lose to the Browns. Carolina dropped a game to Pittsburgh on Thursday. So now the Packers are only one back of Carolina. Everything's setting up kind of nicely for the Packers. Now, there are still some, it's the Packers still got to win games. They are winless on the road. They got to actually do something on the road, but you look at how this sets up. Packers have a few cupcake games left on the slate. Carolina still has to play the Saints twice. The Eagles have to go to New Orleans, speaking of the Saints, who are, in my opinion, the best team in football. They have to go there next week in a do-or-die game. It is a proverbial loser leaves town match. Now, the Eagles could run the table and go forward there, but they also have to play the at Los Angeles. The Eagles do not have easy sledding down the stretch. The Falcons, I believe, have the Saints on Thanksgiving, so they have the Saints coming up. So three teams around you play the best team in football, and you do not as the Green Bay Packers. This is setting up beautifully for them. They just need to win. The Seahawks game is so crucial. We'll talk about it all this week, but this game, to me, will really, if they win this game, they are in a driver's seat for a playoff spot, and they still are flirting with the division. I wouldn't say they are. They would actually, it really would benefit them if the Vikings can beat the Bears next week. But we'll talk about all that that later this week. But yes, you could not have asked for a better scenario for the Packers. So those freaking out, that's why I didn't worry about the Patriots game, guys. And I tried to tell you that, and you guys didn't listen, which is okay. I understand that. I get it. You know, we were all mad. I was mad too. But that's kind of why I said with the playoff scenario, we had to just sort of take it week by week. Now it's looking a lot better. If you beat the Seahawks on Thursday, it is really going to look good. But you got to do that. And you got to show you can win away from Lambeau. And hopefully that happens on Thursday. But we'll talk more about that game as the week goes on. So the Milwaukee Bucks have finished a 2-2 West Coast road trip against four of the best teams in the Western Conference. If you need any more indication that the Milwaukee Bucks are for real, here is your answer. So they had a kind of sloppy game against the Clippers. Not the best outing for the Bucks. You could argue a little LA flu is in the building, but they fought hard. They worked their way back to overtime. There was like probably 10 or 11 times where I'm like, all right, the Bucks have lost this game. Whatever. We'll just go around our Saturday afternoons. They forced overtime. It needed a Lou Williams runaway jumper to win the game. Like, it was an absolutely awesome effort from the Bucks. Now, then against the Nuggets, they are trailing in the fourth quarter. They look like a team who's ran out of gas. The Nuggets went on a 21-6 run to start the fourth quarter. The Bucks came all the way back. Eric Bledsoe lit a spark under them. Malcolm Brogdon hit a key three to put them ahead, and the Bucks won the game. They won their first time in Denver since 2010. Really great game from Brook Lopez, who had 25 points and 8 threes. As Nolan Murphy has been shouting out, Brook Lopez needs to get in the three-point contest. It is not a if, but when that Brook Lopez is in the three-point contest, he needs to be there. I argued that Lopez couldn't do it because he's kind of slow, but I am now fully in on Brook Lopez for a three-point contest. I know the NBA will do it if Lopez wants to, because let me tell you, the NBA loves attention, so that would be a perfect one. But Lopez couldn't miss. I mean, Lopez was absolutely on fire. Interesting quotes from John Henson after the game from Eric Nahm of The Athletic, who said, you know, he's changing the game. I mean, when do you see a 7-footer shooting like that? How do you get out and defend that? I mean, look at Memphis, for example, coming up on the schedule on Wednesday. Is Marc Gasol really going to play Brook Lopez out there? Probably not. So Brook Lopez is basically making all of these teams with big men pay. Nikola Jokic didn't want to get out on him. I love the fact that Chris Middleton took it right at Jokic, hit a fadeaway to also extend the lead to 5 points. I mean, just great stuff all around from the Bucks. They should be really proud of themselves. This was not easy. Teams do not usually do the LA to Denver back-to-back well. It's usually a guaranteed loss. It's usually a scheduled loss for the teams, yet not for the Milwaukee Bucks. And that just shows you how good this team is. And I think I think everybody's bought in, but if for some reason you were still on the fringe after the Warriors game, you buy in right now. I brew up at a poll, like, is this the best Bucks win of the season? I said, yes, 100%. No one thought they were going to win this game, and they came out, and even in the fourth quarter, it was like, all right, whatever, you know, this is over, fine. They kept battling. This team is never out of it. It feels good. Now they head home. They play 8 of their next 10 at the Fiserv Forum. They have two road trips, and those two road trips are against Charlotte and the Knicks. it is time for the Bucks to continue to build out their lead in the Central and continue to stay afloat in the as the second seed in the East, if not the first seed. Now, it's still early, but yeah, Philadelphia will have Jimmy Butler come probably Wednesday, I think. The trade will be made official today. I said it on, I did a Instagram video. You can follow me, SnowTypeWI. But Jimmy Butler really does not worry me from a Bucks fan perspective. You can read what I wrote on SnowTypeWI, but basically what I pointed out is, as everyone else has, it's like, they still have issues in spacing. Joel Embiid clogs the middle. Jimmy Butler takes it to the lane. So does Ben Simmons. You have all these guys going to the lane. You have no shooters besides J.J. Redick, which is another problem. This team does not shoot the ball. Clayton mentioned that on our Facebook post. Shout out to Clayton for that. He's absolutely right. Like, they still, their core problem is the fact they cannot shoot the ball. And all there is J.J. Redick. I mean, yeah, are they going to try to get Kyle Korver? Sure. But so are the Bucks. I think the Bucks actually really are going to try to maybe get out and enhance that bench with a guy like Korver. So it's like, he's going to have a ton of options. He's not just going to have Philadelphia. He might want to go there. He may not. So, you know, they still have those issues. And how is this team chemistry going to work? I get that, you know, whatever, they're all professionals. But like, Embiid has always been sort of, he wants to be the guy. Embiid acts like he is the man. Like, if you look how he is on social media, and he trash talking Andre Drummond, and how he trash talks Hassan Whiteside, he's the man. Well, guess what? Jimmy Butler's coming there, and Jimmy Butler is not going to be second fiddle. Jimmy Butler is going to want to be the man. He's going to want people to show him respect. I wish Jimmy Butler didn't go to Marquette sometimes, because I love watching Jimmy Butler. I always cheer for Jimmy Butler, but God, he is a fucking douchebag. And he just, it's like, he is another version of Carmelo Anthony. I hate to say that, but like, how many teams can this guy ruin? It's all good for a little while, and then he gets sick of this shit. Like, I guess Embiid's a little bit, you know, more strong-willed than Towns, but in a way, that's even worse for Butler, because Embiid's not going to take his shit. And then there's Ben Simmons, who thinks his shit doesn't stink, and he's not that good. I mean, anyone who tells you Ben Simmons is a good basketball player, or like a very good basketball player, needs to get their head checked. Like, Ben Simmons is a top 25, maybe top 30 basketball player. He's not a top 15 basketball player. I know people want to make him out to be that, but the guy can't shoot. If you can't shoot like that, and then what do you do with Markelle Fultz? Markelle Fultz is another guy who has had some major psychological issues, and now you're throwing in a guy who's basically called out his teammates multiple times. How is this actually going to work? I don't know. I really don't. I wish Philly the best, actually, no, because fuck them and whatever. But still, I don't see how it works out. So that'll. Yeah, and we didn't really talk about the Badgers, but I will mention it quickly. We're way over, as we usually are on Mondays. I tend not to give the whole 20 minutes or less, because it's just how Mondays go, because you're recapping the games, we're talking about the weekend. Badgers are officially out of the Big Ten West race. They will not be going back to Indianapolis. Instead, that belongs to Northwestern, who beats Iowa on the road. Northwestern is going to the Big Ten Championship. They will likely play Michigan. They could get Ohio State. It'd be a rematch. Northwestern jumped out to a 17-0 lead on the Wolverines, only to lose 20-17. Would be an interesting one. I'm happy as hell for Northwestern. I know that, you know, could be a rival to Badgers, but still, Pat Fitzgerald's a great guy. I met him, or I saw him speak, I guess, at a coach's camp when I was still trying to think that I could be a D1 athlete. And he's a great guy. He's a really good dude. Really happy for him. It shows you sometimes staying is the best option. Although I'll imagine there will be NFL teams maybe knocking on his door. But he's not as innovative as I think you want to be at this point in the NFL. But still, that doesn't matter for some ownership groups. So we'll see. But Fitz, good job on him. Hopefully he can get his team all the way to Rose Bowl. That'd be an amazing story. All right, that does it for us. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll take a look at that Packers-Seahawks game, sort of look at it from a glance. We will also talk about the lessons from week 10 of the NFL season And one thing we did not get to today was Giannis's free throw issues. We'll talk about that tomorrow as well. Maybe kick off the show with that. All right. Take care, guys. Have yourselves a great Monday. We'll be back tomorrow. All right, see you.